Cowboy Wisdom, NLI Coaching. Talk Radio. Well, good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. It's Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom, NLI Radio. And we're waiting for the next guest to call in, and we'll go from there. And as we're waiting for Nancy to call in, Nancy is with she deals with bullying, and she's also a consultant for the National Victims Society. And what we're going to talk tonight about is how we can start preventing that and do things and open people's eyes to see what's going on. And it's really about opening people's eyes to see what's happening. Nancy has also had some personal experiences with this, and she's going to be very insightful about this. And she's going to open your eyes to maybe how parents can they can prevent it early, or see how their kids are doing it, or maybe parents don't care. I don't know. We're going to ask Nancy a whole bunch of things to open Nancy's eyes and see how parents deal with this and stuff like that. But bullying is getting to be a big thing in this country, and it's really about engaging people's lives and seeing what's happening and opening people's eyes up to feel the freedom and see what's going on in people's lives as we see different things. And and there's so much hidden stuff that she'll be able to enlighten you on and open your eyes to. And it's really important that we start seeing this, because I really feel this all has to start with the parents and things like that. And whatever happens here, we have to expand through and engage in and see where we're going with this. And you know, you can schedule shows, you can schedule everything, but life gets in the way of life, and it really, really does. And we really have to open up to seeing how society is a gang up society, and it always has been. You know, people always are trying to fit in with one person that's the most popular or something, and it always is happening that way. And, you know, the thing about life, we have to go forward, and we start having to see different things, but the society today, we're pretty much stuck in some things on how we do things, and anything new is really a terrifying thing to everybody. And as we do this, we got to really become more fluent to everything and do things in a more bolder way. But we got to become more communicative than anything in life right now. And that's something we're really afraid of, is communication of life. We really would rather, it's easier to argue and fight and, I guess, get mad and do everything. And that, and just
I'm going to have to accept responsibility for this because I was the one. I think I used to do the show of text, and I built it at 5, and I do that good. I transpose numbers. So I'll take responsibility, and I'm going to add links to the show so we get all of Nancy we can.
I'm going to call back in.
And good evening, everybody. I called back in, and I got to apologize. I think I transposed some numbers on this. Sometimes I do that, and I don't know why, but I do it. And I want to welcome Nancy Kilgore to the guest. And Nancy is going to open your eyes and expand your wisdom about bullying and being the victim. And Nancy's had some experience, but she also travels the world and speaks around the world about this. And without any further ado, I want to welcome Nancy to the show. Welcome.
Thank you.
And I'm going to go add some time because this is something, this bullying. And really, Nancy, I want to ask you this. What is some of the things that parents can look out for to see if their children are being bullied by a gang-up society? Because we live in a gang-up society, I feel. So what are some of the things parents can watch for and get early detection on this?
Well, first of all, the symptoms of a child being bullied are very similar to the symptoms of a person with PTSD. And actually, a lot of children that get bullied have PTSD for the rest of their life if they're severely abused. The symptoms are difficulty with focus, difficulty with concentration, wanting to isolate, depression, anxiety, avoidance of certain children at school or teenagers at school. So the symptoms are very much like PTSD, and the child or teenager can feel, have suicidal ideation. There are many aspects that are devastating to being bullied. What I basically talk about in America is sibling abuse. I talk about sibling abuse and how bullying is research linked to sibling abuse. America thinks that bullies are basically falling down from the sky and we don't know where they're coming from, but they're coming from the American home. And this is substantiated in research. We have very few researchers that actually research sibling abuse. And children, because of the economy, are actually practicing on each other, and that's where bullies are coming from. But America doesn't want to look at that.
Now, you just said something there that was quite interesting to me. Does America want to look at any of their challenges, do you feel?
It's very difficult when it comes to the American family. And the movement that is essentially one that needs to be created about the issue of sibling abuse is one that's never been looked upon in regards to the American family for ever since the beginning of time. The American family is extremely stressed out right now, especially because of the economy. We have parents working at various jobs. We have parents working at 2 and 3 jobs, and children are not supervised right now. And because they aren't supervised, and because older children are put in care of younger children, we have a very at-risk situation for sibling abuse, and sibling abuse is very connected to bullies. Bullies are not coming from any other sector in the country other than the American home.
So what people do at home, they're doing out in the public with other people, and they find, you know, smaller kids or kids that are a little different, and then they gang on up on them, and then they create the same bullying techniques in them. Do you feel that? Or is
that's
that true. Right? Or?
That's absolutely true. Children who get bullied by their siblings practice on each other at home, and then they go and ventilate their anger out on other children. And children that are abused by their siblings are sending out signals to other children that they are victims. And other bullies pick up on the signaling systems of the child that I can be bullied or you can be aggressive towards me. So it's twofold.
So really, this is really something I'm starting to understand more and more. Most of our society challenges has become since we destroyed the home, the family values in this country. Is that pretty close, or what do you feel about that?
I don't think there's been any real overt attack on the family. It's been happening basically because there's a disproportionate amount of wealth at the top, and it's trickled down to the American family. The American family is under a great deal of economic stress. Children are watching parents under a lot of stress, and when parents have a lot of stress, they have domestic violence, and children model that domestic violence on each other.
And we really have to open up and get back to the family fabric, and making that strong again, we'll have a more stable, a more stable
culture.
Mindset in the country.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't you feel?
Oh, I do. And people ask me a lot of times, well, what should we do? I think one of the most important things that is important is to have rules of conduct within a family. Families are basically winging it as far as parenting and time allocated to their families. And the end result is that it's very taken for granted as far as the rules of conduct. If families had once a week a meeting about what's happened within the family, what are the secrets within the family, what's tolerated and what's not tolerated, we would be better off.
You know, this is something I've said on this show many times, Nancy. I want to get your opinion. If we shut down the stores on Sunday and let everybody have a day, because when I grew up, Sunday dinner, you better almost be working. You know, in high school I had to work. You either better be working or you better be in a place where you are incapacitated, because if you weren't there for Sunday dinner, that was almost a grounding episode. Do you feel if we had Sunday dinner where people had to sit down at the table and actually spend time together would help? Would it help alleviate some of this?
Well, we have found through research that children are more, they're coping better, they have better behavior patterns when they do actually eat dinner, and this is something that is not being done a lot with a great deal of routine. So I do believe in families eating dinner, having some rules as far as when we're going to be connecting. Children have no idea when they're going to be connecting with their family members, nor do the parents.
And Nancy, you have a book called Girl in the Water. It's by Nancy Kilgore. And give people, if somebody chose to read Girl in the Water, how would that open their eyes to sibling abuse and actually give them some firsthand knowledge? Because this is something you wrote something about yourself, isn't it?
It actually is, and I want you to know that Girl in the Water is applicable to men as well. There are 40 million adult sibling abuse survivors out in our country alone, and many of us don't talk to each other and don't think that it's even worthy of consideration talking about what happened as far as sibling abuse. Sibling abuse is physical, emotional, and sexual. And for many of your listeners right now, for the very first time, they're getting substantiated, validated that what was done to them was wrong. And my book, Girl in the Water, A Personal Story of Sibling Abuse, is actually the first one in the entire world. It's a memoir about my life as a sibling abuse survivor. And the reason that many of us don't want to tell our story is that we don't want to be outside of our family. The family is a very powerful entity, and the human being feels very vulnerable without their family. I went through a particular process that's called shunning long before my book was actually published. I actually remembered what my sister had done, and my mother went to every family member and cross-examined them as to whether or not this actually happened. Girl in the Water is about how sibling abuse occurred in my life, and for a great many people that are starting to read it, they relate to it because they just have had no place to ventilate or think that anyone would ever care about what their sibling did to them. My sibling abuse actually started at the age of 4. My mother had too many children quickly, and her last two were born not very far apart. And my sister was put in charge of me. And that's where the abuse started. The greatest portion of my abuse was at 10, and I nearly died at the age of 10. I want to relate that a lot of sibling abuse survivors that go through sibling abuse, the reason that it is not something that builds your character, it's something that actually mangles the brain, and it alters the brain. When a child is subjected to trauma by a significant sibling or cousins, the brain has a very difficult time rerouting the trauma. So the trauma is almost irrevocably etched in the child's brain for life. On June 17th, information came out through the University of New Hampshire, and that sibling abuse could absolutely do damage to the adult's life. America lit up like a Christmas tree for a week, and then it went black. And I was told that I could be on television if I brought my abusive sister on. That was not a negotiable thing that could be done. However, I'm still looking for opportunities to go on television to actually validate the lives of millions of survivors. Right now, there are 19 million children that are being abused by their sisters or brothers or cousins. And we have 4 million battered women, and a lot more focus is put on battered women than our own children, which amounts to almost 5 times as much. So there's 4 million battered women, there's 19 million children that are being abused, and these are children that are not going through just sibling rivalry.
And Nancy, did I misread something? Didn't you say every 18 seconds there's an abuse?
I wrote a book 18. Every 18 seconds a woman is battered, and we now believe that it's every 13 seconds. I'm basically a pioneer in the movement of domestic violence, and for many years I talked about battered women, and the number one cause of domestic violence is sibling abuse. The number one cause of child abuse is sibling abuse. The number one cause of incest is sibling abuse. The number one cause of bullying is sibling abuse. This is all in the research, but America doesn't want to look at this.
You know, when it comes to a lot of things with children, we'd rather protect them than really look at them. But now, if you as a parent and you had, let's say, an idea this was going on, what is something the parents can do instantly with their children to allow this to be discontinued in their household, do you feel?
Well, I first of all believe that parents should have bedrooms under surveillance and they should figure out what's going on. Bedrooms that are occupied by children are conducive towards sibling abuse. I also feel, as I've said before, that it's important to have rules of conduct, what's tolerated and what's not. When parents are not acting like parents, this is a situation for sibling abuse. So actually just basically making it very clear what's tolerated and what's not tolerated, and these are the consequences in this family. I truly believe that parents should not whip children, hit children, because this in itself is reinforcing that it's okay to hit. It's okay to be abusive.
You know, we're talking about the parents, but how are some parents today too immature to be parents even though they are? Do you feel that?
I believe as a whole, our culture has come away from maturity. Yes, I agree with that. You know, that's what's happened in our culture. That's what's happened. And to just say that people need to sit down for dinner and everything will be okay is sort of simplistic thinking. America needs to, first of all, address sibling abuse and address sibling abuse that has happened in their own lives. This movement is not going to take off until sibling abuse survivors basically stand up with me. I am basically one, and there are others that have come toward me, but it's not enough. There are 40 million of us who have never stood up.
You know, this is really the first time I've been in the personal growth arena for over 15 years, and this is the first time I've ever seen that. Do you think the sibling abuse has a lot to do with all the acts of violence that are going on in the schools and stuff like that now?
I think there are a myriad of reasons why siblings are becoming more aggressive, and what we need to look at primarily is the fact that siblings are becoming so aggressive they're actually killing each other. We have an upsurge of children actually murdering each other. And many of the children are actually being murdered with guns. And Cricket Gun Manufacturer is actually promoting guns to a whole family. The videos for Cricket Guns are just incredible. The guns are sold with the colors of popsicles. And it's just amazing if America could understand what gun legislation is all about and how many children, since just beginning of June, how many children we have lost because they were killed by their own siblings.
You know, and there was just, wasn't there a real young one here in some place in the country in the last month that were like a 4-year-old or 6-year-old killed his young sister or brother?
That was in Kentucky. She was 2 years old. He killed her with a Cricket gun. It was an accident, but that occurred. We have, in the state of California, we have a little girl named Layla Flower, and she died. She was at home with her brother, and she was stabbed in the heart. We have several other children that have died. If you just Google in children killed by their siblings, you'll find a number of them. It's just amazing how many children are actually being killed with weapons. 2 million children deal with conflict in their home with a weapon. So this is something that is pretty serious. It's not really been addressed actually from the beginning of time.
And the website is hopeforsiblings.com. The book is Girl in the Water. It's good for men and women. It's available on Amazon.com and HCI Books. And, you know, here's the thing, Nancy. Until we get the family back into a family semblance, won't we just continue going down this path of abuse, sibling abuse, spousal abuse, or every kind of abuse you can imagine?
You are absolutely correct. It is time to address this issue of sibling abuse and the rules of conduct that are needed within a family. But America right now does not want to look at what goes on behind closed doors. Children are kind of like indentured slaves. They're like little possessions. And parents do not want you to look at what's happening with their children and their families. This is a movement that's even more difficult than what occurred in the 1970s with battered women. It was very, very difficult for our culture to address the fact that women were being hurt in their own homes. This is going to be an even more difficult movement to address sibling abuse. If parents, and what I'd like to do is form a nonprofit so that parents are alerted to sibling abuse, prevention and intervention, and also to have conferences for adult sibling abuse survivors, our culture will be a lot better. But we cannot just sit and pontificate and say the family needs to come together. Well, how do we do that? We have to address the issue of sibling abuse. It's so prevalent, so prevalent.
You know, here's the thing. It's like we want to sweep all of our challenges under the carpet that the whole country faces. To me, they want to sweep it under the carpet so we look good in the world's eyes instead of being the ones that look at challenges and overcome them and expand out of it. And until we admit our challenges as a country, family, individual, we're going to keep swirling and going in a downward spiral, don't you feel, Nancy?
I do believe that could happen. I wouldn't be standing up. I wouldn't be spending so much time on social media, and that's where I met you. I wouldn't be putting all of this in if I didn't feel that there was hope. Hope and light. Maybe through this broadcast I've helped an adult sibling abuse survivor to feel validated. Maybe I've helped a child to not be killed tonight or hurt tonight or incested tonight. Your main point is that we're going down the tubes and it doesn't look too good. I am one of those people that feels that this is a massive epidemic. And if we had this many children being killed, we had this many children being hurt, we would, or done to adults, we would think that this was an epidemic. This is tolerated, accepted, and looked upon as character building.
And it is. But, you know, here's the thing. You said something. If this was a runaway disease by the National Disease Control Agency, we'd basically have 19 million deaths, wouldn't we?
Well, we don't have so much 19 million deaths. We have 19 million children that are severely abused.
But, I mean, on a hypothetical, using just a term, if it was a disease, it'd be called terminal, or what is that word to use? It'd be
epidemic.
An epidemic.
We would be concerned, but this has been tolerated from the beginning of time that siblings would do this, and there is a difference between sibling abuse and sibling rivalry. Sibling abuse is when there's a victim and an aggressive child. The victim is unwilling and they don't want the particular aggressive maneuvers coming toward them. Sibling abuse always affects the child's mind. It alters the brain significantly, especially when it is exceedingly traumatic.
And doesn't it also lower the self-esteem and make the person really and you know, makes them really want to disengage from society and live in life, and they really become quiet and kind of seclusive, don't they?
Absolutely. What happens is that children that come away from sibling abuse have the same symptoms as a person coming out of Vietnam War or Afghanistan. They want to isolate, their suicidal ideation, they have depression, they have anxiety. It definitely has a huge part of when we are seeing children actually hanging themselves. Who knows what could have happened within their own homes for them to get to that point. It does alter sense of self.
It really does. And now with both parents working, and some of them are working three part-time jobs, both parents are working 3 to 4 part-time jobs just to make ends meet. Where is the time? The parents get tired. And do they really have the energy to have the conversations with their kids, do you feel?
We have very stressed out parents. It's almost an impossible situation, but it's going to be an important situation if we don't attend to this now. The risk factors for children that are not attended to, as far as the risk factors in regards to sibling abuse, turn into the outcomes are prison, financial difficulties, welfare, homelessness, psychiatric care, antidepressants, mental instability. It would be cost effective if our culture addressed this issue.
Isn't it also addictions of alcoholism, drugs overdose?
Oh.
Don't that all fit into this?
Absolutely.
And now, this is something I've said, and this is something I truly believe. If we only had one parent working, and we had a society where we could have one parent working, man or woman, it doesn't matter, we'd have less prison population, don't you feel?
Right now, we are a country with the largest prison population in the entire world. And a great portion of those that are in prison are black. And so the issue of the prison population, that too has not been addressed as well. So let's say we're in a black community and we have got a mother and there is a husband working. That's not very likely. Not very likely in many situations for there to be stability in the black family. And the majority of people that are in the prison industry, and I think it is an industry, are black. There are no simplistic answers to your questions. There really aren't. If we just had one person working in the family. But what happens is we have a multitude of different types of families. We have families, many families are single-parent families. Many families are step families. We have the family is what you're thinking about is a family unit that was in the 1950s. We just have so many different types of families now. We have gay families. We have blended families. We have just so many stressors going on. If the family can take the time to just state what the rules of conduct are and so that children understand their boundaries, I believe that that is the simplistic answer that you have been trying to achieve.
And also, Nancy, here's something that I had to do myself. Some people, we need to start a program within ourselves of taking responsibility for every facet of our own life, as a parent, so we can pass that down to the kids. Do you feel that?
I think it's important to have integrity. And if a person was parented appropriately, perhaps they would have that mindset. Many people are not parented in such a way that embodies a person taking responsibility for their life.
And now, Nancy, I'm on your website, hopeforsiblings.com, and there's workshops. If somebody was choosing to have you come and give them a workshop or a distant sibling, let's just say, open their eyes to their sibling abuse or see a sibling abuse going on in their family, how would somebody get a hold of you to have Nancy come and give them a workshop and allow them to have some time to expand their life?
There is a contact section at the back of the workshop. There's a contact, or they can email me, all lowercase, Nancy, N-A-N-C-Y, K-I-L-G-O-R-E, 2012, at gmail.com.
And, you know, Nancy, if we just start talking about it on a small scale, how will that eventually end up to be a large-scale opening, do you feel?
I believe that this movement, after what's happened with the media and the blackout as far as the media after this research came out, this will be a grassroots movement. And a grassroots movement basically is one person to another person connecting through networks, coalitions, regional divisions, and what I do basically right now is I am in contact with different organizations and appealing to them and saying, can you put mention of my book into your newsletter, your website? And today I hit the mother lode. There was a person who said, I want to send it out to 250,000 people. And so that was very helpful to put that on their website, and I was honored. It is a grassroots movement. I didn't know what a grassroots movement was until after June 17th, when I could see that the media was not going to pay attention to this.
Well, the media, they kind of have trouble paying attention to anything, Nancy, that just isn't, well, basically that doesn't just sell news.
Well,
that's what I see.
I would say that pretty they are indebted to commercials, and I don't think that they'd be the commercial entities in America would be too happy with talking about sibling abuse.
And here's the thing I got to ask you. Does the political arena understand this at all?
No, not at all. It's a very touchy topic. What you know, Sarah Palin, different. We got to get back to family values. I don't think America knows what family values is. I truly don't think so. I don't know any political person that cares about sibling abuse.
And see, that's the thing. And they were probably part of them. Some of them that even happened to them, and they don't know it. Do you feel that?
Oh God. I can't tell you the number of people that write to me on my blog and say, my God, for the first time, I realized that this really impacted and changed my life. It takes a lot for a sibling abuse survivor, an adult, to look at this because we are told as human beings we've got to stay within the fold of our family. Without our family, we're nothing, or we're not as strong. So there's a lot of family loyalty.
You know, this etched in imprint or pattern in somebody's life, that's deeply rooted in the subconscious. That's not in a conscious thing. That's a subconscious thing. And that's where this really has to be addressed, don't you feel, Nancy?
Well, many people, it is in their subconscious what was done to them, but if there were more people like me talking about sibling abuse, getting up and making speeches, having articles syndicated throughout the United States, there would be more awareness and more opportunity for a reader or a viewer to say, oh my God, I remember. And that's happened quite a bit through my blog and Twitter. I can't tell you how many victims have looked at Twitter and Facebook and have said to me, I never thought anybody would care.
You know, that's something I've learned in hypnosis. When you do hypnosis with somebody, you know, where they're at today, it always goes back between the womb and 5 to 7 years old. Usually it's right around 4 and 5 years old is where the pattern that's holding them back and causing all their angst is right there.
Well, researchers, Piaget, and different child theorists believe that the brain is basically formed around 5. My greatest portion of abuse that came from my sister was at 10. So,
yeah.
You know, the brain doesn't forget. And the for your listeners out there saying, well, what the hell do I do about this? The most important treatment that is beneficial in helping with sibling abuse, which is very subconscious, is EMDR. And that stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
Yeah. And see, that's kind of where hypnosis goes in, because it'll go in and find that ingrained imprint. And see, that's the thing that I talk about in my writings a lot, Nancy. It's the ingrained imprints that we don't know are the ones that are actually controlling our life today.
When we look at the difference between hypnotherapy and EMDR, hypnotherapy is not as lasting as EMDR. EMDR, the personality is actually changed, and in EMDR, the body is basically reformatted. The body is not reformatted in hypnotherapy, and the charge of hypnotherapy is not as lasting as that of EMDR. The individual is put in an altered state. It is not a state like hypnotherapy.
Okay. But anyway, because I guess maybe I do it a little different, because I go back there, but I do some different things than everybody else. And something that I've learned, Nancy, the easiest way for people to really get to the subconscious mind and on a daily basis is to use rhymes in their personal growth.
Okay. So basically little affirmation statements said to the self.
Yeah, but they're wrote in rhymes. So you get the song going like a song, Nancy.
Uh-huh.
And then that song takes over and starts, then it becomes basically what you're doing. I mean, it's just a simple thing in the day where they don't have to go, but they can do it in their daily life.
Okay, so you have a little recipe. And I want to tell you that as a sibling abuse survivor, I was into all kinds of little techniques, strategies, you name it. For 26 years of my life, I was waylaid to workshops, affirmations, church, you name it.
Yeah.
And I thought, my God, something's going to shift me. The only thing that ever shifted me was at age 48, and it was EMDR. EMDR basically is where the person that is working with you locates where the brain got transformed and where the brain decided to make new cognitions and belief systems. Those belief systems are absolutely looked at, isolated, and how the body has held the stress is isolated as well. I wish with all my heart that I had known about EMDR and had not been waylaid to little strategies, little tricks, little whatever, because my son saw me have PTSD, anxiety attacks. My son is really messed up now.
Yeah, and see, mine is just a verbiage. I took all the not words out. I only talk in a positive thing, and it really does. And I ain't saying it's going to go in, but it just starts formatting the daily expression.
That's really
and
good.
Sometimes
people with PTSD, acute PTSD, cannot even say a sentence. And what you're talking about is retracking the brain from faulty, negative thinking. Those people that are listening to this right now, I want you to know that sometimes from sibling abuse, you cannot even cope through an hour. You can't even think of a sentence. You can't even think of an affirmation. You can't even think about a prayer scripture. There is a lot of self-doubt, criticism, because you can't do these little recipes sometimes that other people can do. And what I want to share is that the brain is altered. It is impaired in its coping strategies neurologically because of sibling abuse.
And that's what I wanted people to understand right there. It's really, to me, what you just said, it's really a deep depression that takes over your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. The child has nowhere to go with their anger, so it implodes and goes inward.
And we're out of time, but I would like, Nancy, I'd like to invite you back because, see, that's where I was trying to get to there. And see, post-traumatic stress disorder is really an embedded depression that really you got to have something outside of yourself. Like what? Now make sure I wrote this down, EMDR or something like that, you know, to go in there and to really let it go and start over in life.
It's called reformatting. And depression is only one symptom of PTSD. Most people in this situation are diagnosed with depression. Depression is one symptom of PTSD.
Yeah, and, you know, before we're out of time, Nancy, I don't want to go any deeper into this because
we'll
leave people hanging.
Thank you for having me here.
Well, we're going to have you back if you choose to come.
Oh, I'd love to.
And it's hopeforsiblings.com is the email as a website. Girl in the Water is the book by Nancy Kilgore. It's available on Amazon.com and HCI, and the other one is 18 seconds. Every 18 seconds, you know, we're dealing with a world that is waiting to have an expansion of freedom, and it's going to start with what Nancy's doing.
Thank you. I hope that I'm a part of what's called a paradigm shift for our culture, and I gladly look forward to being a part of it. A paradigm.
Yeah, me, I'm part of the.
You are too.
I'm into the energized expansion because they take a lot of words out of my life, and I don't use. And you know, my life, I ain't saying it's perfect, but it makes me more energetic to go forward.
Where are you in America?
I'm in the state of Washington right now.
Oh, okay. I'm in California.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go to Arizona for the winter. I can't cold very good.
Okay.
But I actually have some CDs, Nancy. One is called Letting Go, and it what it does, it just relaxes you. But it's written. But it does let go, and it's really, well, we had trouble editing it because nobody could stay awake.
I'm aware of CDs like that. I actually work with people that have PTSD, and I think that that's commendable. Anything that can happen so that a person is more relaxed. And
anyway, Nancy, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'll send you that Letting Go CD so you can listen to it and see what you think of it. How you feel about it.
Okay. All righty.
All right, Nancy, I'll let you go.
Okay. I'm glad we coordinated the time.
Me too. Next time we'll do better.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.